In the last episode, we discussed whether or not Moses was the author of the Pentateuch. And some people may think, does it really matter? And my answer is yes, because there are serious ramifications. If a person believes that the Pentateuch is truly a mishmash of different oral traditions from different sources being compiled late in the history of Israel, then the overarching narrative of God's unfolding plan of redemption is lost. Key themes that thread through the text are lost because they're viewed as random rather than intentional. But the Pentateuch is a very intentional text. It serves an important purpose. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. For much of the history of both Judaism and Christianity, the Pentateuch was understood to be the unified work of a single inspired writer, Moses. In the last episode, I shared some evidence for why we can defend Mosaic authorship, and I only covered a small number of arguments. So today, I just want to squeeze in one more quick argument that I didn't cover in the previous episode that I think is fascinating. Remember that after the unified kingdom of Israel split, there was the northern kingdom of Israel and then the southern kingdom of Judah. The Pentateuch that we have was passed down by people in the southern kingdom of Judah. After the Assyrian captivity of the northern kingdom of Israel, certain people of the nations of Israel stayed behind and they intermarried with the Assyrians, thus producing the Samaritans. The Samaritans had their own temple, they had their own system of worship. Interestingly, the Samaritans also had their own version of the Pentateuch. It wasn't until around the 16th century during the Protestant Reformation that Western Europe became aware of the existence of the Samaritan Pentateuch, which the Samaritans had been reading in their own language and textual tradition for centuries. Scholars were able to secure copies of the Samaritan Pentateuch manuscripts and study them. And guess what? When the Masoretic Pentateuch that we're familiar with was compared with the Samaritan Pentateuch, they were almost identical in content. This means that the original Pentateuch had to be dated before the nation of Israel split into two different kingdoms. And of course, that undermines the documentary hypothesis, which relied on the Pentateuch being compiled much later in time. But some scholars went so far as to make up an intricate story that the Samaritans somehow maintained contact with the southern kingdom even after the split and kept updating their version to match. Now, this is a very difficult argument to believe because the two kingdoms were not on friendly terms. And if the Pentateuch was supposedly compiled around the time of the exile and after, the Jews who returned to Jerusalem after the exile, they shunned the Samaritans. So the idea that there were good relations between the two people groups and the Samaritans kept updating their copy is pretty far-fetched. The bottom line is that the scholars wanted an explanation for the historical development of the text that supported their own assumptions to justify the documentary hypothesis that the Pentateuch was developed from multiple sources and not Moses. Now, I'm not suggesting that these scholars were purposely lying, but I am suggesting that they were so blinded by their belief in the hypothesis that they created hard-to-believe explanations to make the evidence appear to fit with their hypothesis, when in reality, the physical manuscript evidence points to the truth about Mosaic authorship that had been the Jewish and Christian belief all along. And of course, we know that a huge problem with the documentary hypothesis is that it is contrary to what the Bible says. In multiple places, the Bible attributes the Pentateuch to Moses. He was commanded and inspired by God to write it. So why is this important? Well, we're going to look at who Moses was writing to and why and how this affected what content God wanted to be put into the Pentateuch. Let's take a moment and look at the structure and content of the Pentateuch. The book of Genesis has two main sections. Chapters 1 through 11 cover primeval history. It is the book of beginnings that sets the stage for the rest of the Bible. It includes the creation, the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel, and the confusion of speech and scattering. In these chapters, God deals with the whole world. Genesis chapters 12 through 50 is the story of four generations of a family: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 sons. The book of Genesis sets the stage for Israel's mission, which is then detailed in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Exodus continues the narrative begun in Genesis, but now Israel is in bondage in Egypt, just as God had foretold to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. And just as he promised in verse 14, God judged the nation of Egypt, and his people came out with great substance. The second part of Exodus focuses on the covenant that God established at Sinai through the mediation of Moses. This covenant, with its laws and tabernacle, became the basis for forming Israel into a nation. Leviticus is often overlooked because it is dense to read, but it provides guidelines for worship and ethics. It serves to draw attention to God's holiness and to provide types and shadows that would later be fulfilled by the Messiah. The book of Numbers tells of Israel's transition from the first generation to the second generation after the Exodus. The book describes the journey in the wilderness of the first generation, but it's really instructional for the second generation, who were about to enter the promised land and to conquer it. The journey through the wilderness was also a process for Israel to develop its spiritual maturity. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses shared his final words to guide Israel's relationship with God. In his message, Moses emphasized how love is central in one's relationship with God. He detailed the perils of sin and the promise of grace, and he affirmed God's supremacy over everyone and everything. For Israel, as they prepared to enter the promised land, Moses wanted them to remember that they were to be an influence on the nations around them by exalting God. Now, that's a very general outline of the key storyline of the Pentateuch. It's interesting to step back and think about why the book is structured and framed the way it is. Who was Moses writing to? What meaning did God want to convey? We know that the immediate audience was the people of Israel, but that includes two groups. There was the original generation. The generation with Moses had been personally saved from slavery in Egypt. They had received God's laws on Mount Sinai and had helped to build the tabernacle and implement the system of worship. They had received laws about clean and unclean and how to treat their neighbors. They knew these things firsthand. But later in the book of Numbers and in the book of Deuteronomy, 40 years had passed and there was a new generation. Deuteronomy was Moses' retelling of key events and laws from the past, but he also included new information that was relevant for the new generation. And God was also thinking of the future generations. The future generations needed to know who they were and the great purpose God had for them in his covenant. They needed to understand the promises of God and also the consequences of breaking the covenant. So Moses took them all the way back to creation and how the world was formed. He explained the fall so they would understand God's desire to restore the relationship. Then he told them how God graciously set Israel apart to serve as the channel through which God would redeem mankind and offer salvation. There is a thread of promise that runs through the entire Pentateuch and actually through the entire Old Testament. After the fall, In Genesis 3:15, God promised a redeemer. When God cursed the serpent, he said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In this verse, God promised to restore his creation through a human being. An overarching theme of promise, a global promise, weaves its way through the Old Testament, pointing forward to the work of Christ, who ultimately fulfilled the promise. So Genesis provides the backdrop, not only for the promise, but for the family line through whom that promise would be fulfilled. Each covenant that God made in the Old Testament with Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, were building toward the new covenant, which was inaugurated by Jesus Christ. So Moses wrote the Pentateuch to provide the foundation of Israel's faith. He made Israel aware of the global nature of their mission. He provided a detailed history of how a family was formed into a nation. He established guidelines for worship and ethics based on God's commands, so Israel could be a light to the world and draw people back to God. And think about what a gift this was to the second generation in the wilderness. They needed to know their history and their purpose in order to have the fortitude to conquer the promised land. And not because it was for them to simply selfishly have, but it was part of God's global plan to take back territory from the enemy and establish a place for his presence here on earth. When we think about the Pentateuch from Moses' perspective, he was trying to accomplish what I think many of us as parents try to do. We pass on our faith to our children in a way that helps them to see God's plan of redemption and their personal role in it and how we should live for God because he has a purpose for us. Based on everything God has done for us, we need to be faithful and obedient. And as Israel was about to embark on a campaign to take the promised land, that was Moses' message to them. Now, I want to point out a few noteworthy things about the Pentateuch. It is a story about the birth and adolescence of a nation. But unlike the histories of other ancient people, it doesn't present Israel as some brave, strong, and virtuous nation. If an ancient king wanted to preserve something in writing, it was typically a little boastful about the merits of him and his nation or empire. But Israel's history, as presented in the Bible, is more authentic because Israel is not portrayed in glamorous terms. In fact, it's just the opposite. Moses wrote about Israel being constantly rebellious, ungrateful, and disobedient to God. Not only does this point to authenticity, but why would Moses have included all of these details that most histories would not have included? Because he was also warning Israel about the consequences of rebellion. It is something that is easy to fall into, as the history of Israel shows, and God needed them to be faithful if they were going to accomplish their purpose. And even though Israel seems to be the main focus of the story of the Pentateuch, it's really not. God is. God has the leading role not only in the Pentateuch, but in the whole Bible. The Pentateuch presents only one God. He is known by a variety of titles, but there's only one God who is the creator of the world and supreme over it. The Pentateuch is really about God's intentions and actions from the beginning of creation. For Moses, the God of the Sinai covenant was the creator of the universe and the Lord of history. And Moses was providing examples to show Israel what kind of God Israel serves. A recurring theme is God's constant care and protection of his people, especially if the circumstances threaten the fulfillment of his promises. After Cain killed Abel, Adam and Eve were blessed with Seth to carry on the line of God's promise. More than once, God protected Abraham from harm. Sarah's barrenness was overcome. Although Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him or at least get rid of him, God blessed him so that he became powerful in Egypt, which allowed him to save his family. Then God graciously saved Israel from bondage in Egypt and protected them in the wilderness. Over and over, we see God's protection of his people. But God also sets high expectations for his people, and there are severe consequences for failure. But even in the midst of those failures, God is merciful. Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, but their lives were preserved. Cain was banished from God's presence, but he was allowed to live. When humanity was utterly evil, they were drowned in the flood, but God used Noah and his family for a new beginning. The pride and arrogance of the builders of the Tower of Babel was punished by being scattered with different languages, but they were allowed to survive and to multiply. Even when the story shifts to Abraham and the development of one family into a nation, we see a repeated pattern of God's goodness and then human failure and then God's long-suffering mercy. And even more astonishing for an ancient history, Israel is portrayed as completely unable to achieve anything by their own efforts. They were totally dependent on God for successes that they had. They could not become great on their own merit, but only through God. So Moses was showing who God is and how great he is, and also putting Israel in a very realistic light that their purpose could only be found in God, and they needed to do their best to live for him. They were being called into fellowship with God, who expected trust and obedience. Really, the ending of the Pentateuch is the story of two beginnings. First, the Pentateuch literally ends with the nation of Israel poised on the bank of the Jordan River, preparing to cross over the river to inherit the land that God had promised to their ancestors. So it was a new beginning for Israel. Near the end of Deuteronomy in chapter 31, verses 26 to 27, Moses wrote this: "Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death?" Moses wanted the Pentateuch preserved because he didn't want Israel or the future generations to forget. This new beginning was connected to a long history that needed to be preserved and remembered. And frankly, Moses had a pessimistic view about their ability to be obedient. This is as important for us today as it was for the original audience, because in the end, we are all sinners. And recognizing that we are sinners, people who often rebel against God and his word, that's the beginning of the gospel. Because we don't have to despair, there is hope. And this is another way in which the ending of the Pentateuch is really a new beginning. In the Pentateuch, we find a global story that explains the fallen condition of humans and the hope for salvation. It is the beginning of the gospel story. The Jewish people have a saying that the Torah, the Pentateuch, is a tree of life to all who grasp it. From Genesis 3:15 through the covenants with Abraham and Moses, the Pentateuch provides the foundation for the Messiah. Like Israel, we are descendants of a promised seed, heirs to a great covenant. We have been given a hope for salvation, and that is the meaning and purpose of the story. It is a tree of life to all who grasp it. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic, and until next time, take care and God bless.